broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No Doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2023. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the Founding Fathers in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, the blueprint for liberty. They say anti-government, but they absolutely lie. Yeah, I'm anti-rogue government. They're right about that. I'm anti-government overreach. I'm anti-violation of the separation of powers. Absolutely. But I stand for the proper role of limited constitutional government based on the rule of law and the dual contract with the American citizens. Remember, all government derives its powers from the consent of the governed. That's you and I, ladies and gentlemen. And we gave the general government certain limited tasks via the Constitution. It's the contract. We also gave the states their constitutions, a broad contract. But both government entities with delegated authority from we the people must obey the contract and the delegation. And when they obey that contract, it's the proper role of government. When they violate that contract, when they step outside of their, quote, lane regarding the separation of powers, they're out of control. They're rogue. They need to stop. But you know what? They never will unless we the people educate ourselves and insist on it. And as our founders wisely warned, you know what? This nation is only governable by a moral and a religious people. The system our founders put together is absolutely brilliant. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? If we don't obey God, if we don't turn to God, if we're not a moral and a religious people, explained George Washington, you know what? It ain't going to work. Okay, it's that simple. So you know what? When the American ideal is falling apart, don't blame the Constitution. You got to look right in the mirror, baby. It's we, the people, that are the problem, and we'll get into that today as the broadcast unfolds. We can look at Congress and blame them. We can look at the president and blame him. We can look at the courts and blame them. We can look at the general government and blame them, Congress, whoever, the legislative body. We can look at the states and blame them, but we really have nobody to blame but ourselves. And I'll get into the details and really highlight that reality today as we discuss further. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on, it was the simulcast between Liberty Roundtable Live and the Sheriff Mack Show on Brighty on TV, radio, Loving Liberty Networks, and more. Huge show. It was Sam Bushman. It was Sheriff Richard Mack. And we had on Dr. Edward Group. He's the founder of a group called Global Healing. Vegan, organic, vitamins and supplements to support global healing. Yeah, you want to learn more, go to cspoa.org/global-healing for more information. Believe it or not, we talked about the power of urine therapy. And I know this is just weird stuff. I get it. The idea is you drink your own urine, and they say it's good for you. You know what? It's about going to be impossible for me to go along and agree. Kidding me? It's waste from your body. Does it have nutrients in it? Absolutely. A lot of nutrients flow through your body and, you know, go out. That's why they say if you buy a lot of vitamins and eat a lot of vitamins, you just pee out expensive vitamins. I get that. There's a lot of good in it, but there's also a lot of bad in it, too. It's the body's way of elimination. So I understand that a lot of doctors believe in it. I understand that it's been around for thousands of years. But folks, maybe I'm just ignorant, but I just cannot get my arms around it, okay? I just cannot, you know, but there's a lot of doctors that talk about it. And again, this is an example where I may or may not agree with Dr. Group on everything. I agree with a lot of his herbs. I agree with a lot of his articles. I agree with a lot of what he does. We sell his products because they're incredible at CSBOA. But I don't have to agree with him on everything. And just because I have him on, that doesn't mean that I agree with it. Or that it just means I believe that you guys can hear what he has to say. You guys can go study and figure out what you think is right and wrong and the truth. I don't have to be the arbiter of truth. I don't have to be the gatekeeper to decide what you believe in or don't. I just present the information. This is a school of thought out there. It's not isolated. There's a lot of people that believe in it. It's believed in a whole lot more internationally than it is in the United States. It's something the average American and the average person think is gross, which I can see why. I also get that, you know what? They claim there is value to it. Now, I'm not a physician. I don't know. I don't have all the expertise in the world. But I do know this. I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host. My goal is a commentator. My goal is an educator. My goal is to bring the information to you. My goal is to ask good and hard questions. My goal is to be fair. My goal isn't to attack and ridicule and mock any guest. My goal is to bring them on and help you learn, and then you can decide for yourself. But just because I bring a guest on, that doesn't mean I agree with everything they say or do. Okay, that's where it's a lie. Now, this is what I do agree with from Dr. Group. He wrote an incredible article, The Gut-Brain Connection. He's saying, you know what, you eat, what you put in your gut really affects your brain. He says this, boost mental health through the gut. Dr. Edward Group. Anyway, I totally agree with this idea that, you know what, there is a serious connection between your gut and your brain. There is a serious connection between what you put in your body and how it affects your brain, your blood-brain barrier, how it affects your nervous system, how it affects your thoughts, how it affects your health, how it affects your cognitive skills, and you have bad gut problems due to horrible nutrition, and believe it or not, it can be the cause of many mental illnesses and disturbances. Make no mistake about that. So Dr. Group is right about a lot of things. He also could be right about this urine therapy as well. I just can't get myself to go along with it. You know, say that I'm just, you know, too stupid, say whatever you want. Again, we can all listen to it. We can all learn about it. And then we can all make up our own minds. I've made up my mind that I understand what he's saying, and he may be factually right. It doesn't mean that I can get used to it, and it doesn't mean that it's something that I'm willing to embrace. That's all. But I'm not afraid, and this is the point. I'm not afraid to bring it up and talk about it and openly discuss it with him. That's what America's about. Right? I don't have to agree. I can agree to disagree agreeably and be very kind and let him have what he wants to say. Let you people think about it, learn about it, and go, gross, hate it. I agree with Sam, not doing it. Or you can say, you know what? Sam's wrong. Dr. Group's right. This is incredible. It's up to you, folks. I don't have to be the arbiter of information. I don't even have to vet all the information that goes over the airwaves. I don't have to be the gatekeeper and decide if it's facts or not or whatever. You can learn and find out for yourselves. Believe it or not, there's more information in the hands of the average person in the history of the world now than there's ever been before. So don't believe for one second that you can't study and gain the right information or the information that you feel is valuable for you and your family. I'm not endorsing that. I am endorsing Dr. Group and his health products, though, and I am endorsing this idea that, you know what, your gut totally, absolutely has a connection to your brain and the chemicals that are in your brain and the unique, very delicate balance that takes place there, no doubt. And I'm a fan of Dr. Group and a lot of what he does. Doesn't mean I agree with everything. Next guest we had on yesterday was Billy Painter, the Bearded Patriot. He runs a group called the Bearded Patriots with an S, thebeardedpatriots.com. And he has an incredible talk show. We played Chris Ledoux's Cowboys hat, highlighting that, you know, we have differences. And we can either fight about it or we can just let it go and leave one another alone. And Billy told a riveting story about how they let it go. Yeah, he was in Pennsylvania, Democrat, anti-gun guy, saw Billy, who was armed and dressed like a Second Amendment supporter, and man, they didn't really seem to, you know, strike up a kinship, let's say that. But they were wise enough to politely, kindly walk away and just say, you know what, there's a big enough country for both of us, and boy howdy, isn't that the call for civility that I've been asking for forever? Yeah, we also talked about medical cannabis versus marijuana. You know, what's the difference between medical and recreational marijuana? Answer, if a doctor gives approval to it or not, right? and what you're using it for. Is it to control pain or to entertain yourself? Americans overwhelmingly now say that marijuana should be legal for medical and or recreational use. Yeah. Believe it or not, Ted Van Green, Pew Research is who brought this up, the majority, overwhelming majority. Now, I don't really think that we ought to legalize marijuana, but I also don't think it ought to be illegal. I think we ought to control the sale of it and say, look, you can't just do e-commerce or commerce with it. But at the same time, hey, if you want to grow it or if you want to have it or if you want to, I don't think we ought to be close enough to the people to decide those things. It's not that I'm advocating for marijuana. I just know that the war on drugs, we've spent billions. We've got more drug problems and more drug crisis than we've ever had before. The war on drugs is a failure. That's what I know. So I'm not advocating for drugs, but I am saying, look, if doctors can prescribe, say, these opioids or whatever that are literally killing people and it's become a crisis in America, but they can't prescribe medical marijuana, something's wrong with that whole picture, right? Let physicians decide. Let people decide their own lives. You know, we've already got crimes on books. If you drive impaired, it's a crime. I don't care what you're impaired with. It's a crime, and it's got to stop. All right, we talked about what's called tipflation. When, where, how much do you tip? Yeah, people are worried about that and wondering in this era where there's not a lot of money, but everybody's begging for tips, right? We also talked about these mysterious pneumonia outbreaks in China. Will they come to America? We pray the answer is no, but my prediction is the answer is yes. Hang tight. A lot more coming up in seconds on Liberty.
My name is Roundtable Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie. The more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, some people say to me, well, why, Sam, could you, you know, use marijuana but not sell it? There becomes some big questions about when you sell things, governments get a piece of it. So in Highland City, that's in Utah, we were talking to Lowell Nelson the other day, and Utah considers alcohol sales permits in that city. What does that mean? Well, as far as I can tell, what that means is the government's going to get a piece of that pie, right? See, that's the problem that I have with it, is government driving money from these things. On one hand, they want to block them. On the other hand, if they're going to get approved, they want a piece of that pie. It's a serious, serious problem. We also talked about how to file a Freedom of Information Act request with our buddy Casey Whalen. I guess it's FOIA.gov is one way to learn. Another one is called NFOIC. NFOIC.org. You can check those sites out. We're encouraging people to file FOIA requests. We need to dig into where these people are getting their money and where these law enforcement officials and government officials are deciding that I'm a terrorist, that you're a terrorist for being American, Christian, God-fearing, law-abiding citizen, but yet somehow these rogue agents like the Southern Poverty Law Center with ties to Bill Ayers, ties to criminal activity everywhere, ties to the Anti-Defamation League, ties to all kinds of problems, racism, sexism, and more, where all of a sudden they have the ability to infiltrate law enforcement. And if we try to teach the Constitution, they attack us like we're the bad guys and we're a danger to the country somehow. It's an absolute lie, folks. And we're finding this out. We need to demand justice for the January 6th. Some people call them protesters. I'm going to call them peaceful assembly. RonPaulInstitute.org with a great article on that, by the way. The whole thing, Ron Paul says, was an old-fashioned Soviet show trial where the evidence was kept secret. Think about that. Where the evidence was kept secret and the predetermined verdict, quote, guilty. Yeah. It was to be used to tighten the grip, the noose, from the ruling regime and intimidate even further any dissenters into silence. Anybody who goes along, it's going to be clear. You speak out against the government, the perfection of the 2020 election, and you will find yourself in the gulag with the rest of the clowns that questioned. That's really the problem, folks. And January 6th was not an insurrection. When do you find a gunless insurrection? The media has been lying to us regarding the violence that hit on that day. How much of it was instigated by undercover government agents? How much was instigated by a very few rogue people? Were there very few rogue people? Yes, there were. Ray Epps is one of them. There were some bad guys. I admit, arrest them and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. I get it. Those who committed destruction, absolutely prosecute them. But say a Stuart Rhodes who never even went into the Capitol, who never even brought guns into the, quote, gun-free zone known as Washington, D.C., shame on them for the dishonest attack on him. The government lied and should be prosecuted for their lies. He was working with the Secret Service. Evidence proves it. The court now documents it. The government lied and said they weren't working with him when they were. See, these people need to be freed. If there was an insurrection on January the 6th, ladies and gentlemen, then it was committed by the FBI, the Justice Department, Homeland Security, who knows, but other government rogue agencies who advocated to violate the rights of the American citizens. Yeah, most people sincerely wanted to deal with election integrity, and they felt like their Congress, listen carefully, they felt like Congress should be the one to look into that for them. I wonder why they would think such a thing. Maybe because there are representatives? Yeah, and they went there peacefully, and Congress literally sidestepped and failed to deliver on their duty. See, that's the other problem with this. Insurrection or not, why didn't Congress then look into this? Congress could have said, we believe there's so many questions and so many problems with the election numbers we're getting that we're going to send it back to the states, and we want you guys to verify your numbers and come back. And we want to have evidence to vet your numbers. Congress could have done that. They didn't have to decide, no, we're not going to accept the election. They didn't have to embrace the election. They could have simply said, look, we're not comfortable with what we're hearing and seeing and learning about the inconsistencies, about the concerns, about the problems that were brought up, about some of the video evidence, about the challenges, about the concerns. Whole states were making challenges. And all the courts said is you have no standing. Well, that doesn't solve anything. So Congress was derelict in their duty, to say the least.
Okay, but they sidestepped this. You know what? You can blame anybody you want to. The FBI, the Justice Department, the Capitol Police. It was a crackdown and an abuse, no question, and an insurrection by rogue agents involved with them. But it's hard for us to connect the dots unless we can get discovery on this. But in the end of the day, I blame Congress. Because Congress did not do their duty like we the people asked them to. You would say, well, Sam, don't you blame the people? No, this time you can't blame the people because a million people went to try to say, Congress, please look into this. And all they got was considered terrorists and insurrectionists. And 1,200 plus of them now are in the clink. Oftentimes based on dishonest information, withheld exculpatory evidence and more. Stuart Rhodes is the perfect example, ladies and gentlemen. Look, he was working with the Secret Service. They lied. When was asked about that, he went to prison, and now it comes out in court that in the newspapers, supposedly credible sources, that indeed they were working with Stuart Rhodes. So this idea that he was on his own as a rogue agent and an insurrectionist is a lie. He was there at Trump's service, willing to serve and act according to Trump's direction. Trump gave no direction. Stuart Rhodes did not act. He was involved with the Secret Service. They knew what he was doing. They were working with him, and they lied and said they weren't. Now we find out the truth after his conviction. Folks, his conviction needs to be overturned. This is a disgrace. That's just one of many examples. Now they're trying to tie me to the January 6th case, even though I wasn't there, even though I recommended people didn't attend. Why? Well, because they say that Sam had on Stuart Rhodes the day before it all went down. Why did I have Stuart Rhodes on the day before it all went down? Because he's a dear friend of mine, number one. Why did I advocate for fundraising for him? Because they need money to be on the ground there. You say, well, Sam, isn't that funding an insurrection? No, that's the lie. We were funding him working with the Secret Service and trying to keep the peace, which, believe it or not, there's plenty of video evidence that the government withheld showing law-abiding oath keepers helping the police, rescuing them to safety and more. And if there was an insurrection, then how come Stuart Rhodes didn't have his guns in D.C.? Because he wanted to obey the law, because he was working with the Secret Service, because he said publicly and privately that he was on Trump's errand, and if Trump needed him, he was there. Well, Trump never called upon him, and he never took any action. Did he make some comments that they discovered in supposed secret communications? Yes. But I believe those comments are out of context and unfairly representative. You're allowed to say things, folks, even if you don't like what somebody says. Actions speak louder than words. And actions are what are criminal, not words. We have our free speech. What action, what criminal action did Stuart Rhodes take? The answer is not a single one. What criminal action did the government take? Well, they lied about several things. They lied about where certain people were. Yeah, the government did. The Capitol Police did. About where certain people were and what certain people saw. And those lies are what partially convicted Stuart Rhodes. It's a sham, folks. All right, we had on Lowell Nelson as well the other day. Always doing a phenomenal job. CampaignForLiberty.org. And we talked about Congress members ask Biden to stop the effort to prosecute Julian Assange. Adam Dick with that incredible story. Why are we persecuting Julian Assange and some of these people that are blowing the whistle on criminal activity? Why didn't Trump pardon this guy? Why is this guy overseas hiding out, suffering because he doesn't have his free speech? You've got government leaks everywhere. But only Julian and Edward Snowden and these guys are in trouble for it? We also talked about these incredible forgotten American stories written by Lydia Nuttall. Yeah, lovingliberty.net to check out Lydia Nuttall's incredible work on the forgotten stories, the book she wrote. Also on her incredible broadcast called Ask an Immigrant. We talked about why did the immigrants come? They came for the opportunity to expect religious and political freedom. They came for the opportunity to own their own land. They wanted to work and prosper and experience peace. God bless them. All right, hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Two teenagers accused of murder escaped over the weekend from a youth jail in Louisiana, less than 2 weeks after one of them already escaped earlier in November. 17-year-olds David Atkins and Willie Jackson escaped late Saturday night from the East Baton Rouge Juvenile Detention Center in Louisiana. Officials are dumbfounded and don't know how they escaped. Baton Rouge Police and the U.S. Marshals Service have launched a search, and on the fourth day, the first-degree murder suspects remain at large and are considered armed and dangerous. Both teens have dreadlocks covering half their face. The University of California, Berkeley, is one of many facing a lawsuit accusing the school of failing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism on campus. The Brandeis Center for Human Rights under law filed the suit in federal court yesterday. It claims that the court needs to intervene to protect students and faculty to end anti-Semitic discrimination and harassment. The suit claims on-campus displays of hatred, harassment, and physical violence against Jews have erupted since October 7th. Harvard University has now been added to a list of colleges across the country under federal investigation for turning a blind eye to anti-Semitism on campus. Presidential candidate Nikki Haley is picking up a big endorsement.
The Political Action Network, financed largely by billionaire Charles Koch, has endorsed the former South Carolina governor's bid for the White House. The group Americans for Prosperity Action said Haley has what it takes to lead a policy agenda to take on our nation's biggest challenges. I'm John Schaefer.
After 17 days, the 41 trapped construction workers in a collapsed tunnel in the Himalayas are now safe. Indian rescuers drilled through debris for many days to reach them. The under-construction highway tunnel collapsed November 12th. USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to mention this, and it did hit the bottom of the hour news. The Koch brothers, Charles and David, endorsed Nikki Haley, giving her organizational muscle and financial advantage, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious. I don't want Nikki Haley to be president. I think she's angry. I think she is a feminist in terms of she promotes these women issues. I don't have a problem with promoting women issues, but men can't promote men's issues, or they're bigots. They're somehow, you know, whatever, misogynists or whatever. Okay, but women can do it, and it's fine. On the campaign stage, she literally mocked men multiple times. Shame on her. You know what? God created male and female, Haley. And you know what? I don't think we should trash either sex necessarily. God made us both, and we should not be at odds with one another. It's not a showdown. But Nikki doesn't seem to understand a lot of that. Nikki's a pro-war hawk. I have a problem with that. She's not willing to stand up, as far as I can tell, on abortion strong enough. Disgrace for that. She comes across very angry, and anything that anybody brings up that really would help restore the country, she's against. And instead of debating the real issues, she uses ad hominem attacks, which I have a problem with. Oh, you just lack experience, and it shows. That kind of statement. Okay, look, I don't want to debate experience as if experience matters. Experience is what's ran this country off the rails. Okay, all you folks with a gazillion years of experience, Joe Biden, Mike Pence, all the way down the list, Nikki Haley, you guys with your experience have us $32 plus trillion dollars in debt, and on the brink of war and melting down in the economy. Don't tell me that what we need is experience. We do need experience, just not your kind of experience. Anyway, long story short, it's a sad deal that the Koch brothers are now backing Nikki Haley. All right, Hunter Biden, believe it or not, offers to give testimony. That's interesting. To Congress. However, he has a condition. He wants to give his testimony in public. The Republican chairman of the Oversight Committee quickly rejected the offer, saying that Biden's son must give testimony behind closed doors. That's an interesting twist. I think giving testimony in public is fine. It's we the people. I don't know that I like all this closed doors stuff. Pete Sepp, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Quick question, and this relates a little bit to taxes, I think, and the economy is kind of why I'm asking this. I don't want to draw you into a political debate about Hunter Biden at all, but what about this idea about, you know, people saying, I'm willing to testify, but I want to do it publicly versus behind closed doors? That matters because a lot of these other discussions should be a lot more public and less closed doors, in my mind. What do you say?
I would think that the only reason you hold testimony behind closed doors is if there might be national security information at stake, or perhaps if there's the tax writing committees wanting to have testimony from someone and an individual taxpayer's tax return might be discussed. You know, there are privacy statutes governing those, but by and large, doing things out in the open and transparently allows the public, the people who are paying for all of these proceedings, to figure out what's what.
And I agree 100%, and I agree with the exceptions that you bring up. I think there's legitimacy to those. My problem is that what they do is they use those exceptions to be the rule, and transparency becomes the exception, and that's really my issue here.
Yeah. Yeah, and it can become that way. I mean, oftentimes when the directors of the FBI or the CIA or defense agencies, sometimes even the Department of Justice, are brought before Congress to discuss important matters regarding their budgets, they'll say, well, we don't want to talk about that because we might compromise our methods to some foreign foe or the like. And okay, there are times when that happens, but you look at certain weapon systems, for example, the B-21 Raider. That's one example that I can remember where the budget was kept secret for the entire project for quite a number of years. Senator John McCain was the one speaking up and saying, well, look, don't reveal any national secrets here, but can't we at least know what the top line number might be for this weapon system that taxpayers are going to have to shell out for? This has happened in other cases, and I think it's important for us to be able to know at least major pieces of information about what taxpayers are going to be expected to bear.
Well, and this is a perfect example. I get national security concerns, and I support the protection thereof. I believe oftentimes we're too fast and loose with that. We want to use that as a cloak of never telling the people anything, and that's a problem. We've already discussed that. But here's an example from last week that kind of makes the point that I believe relates directly to taxes. We spend a ton of money on foreign aid. We spend a ton of money on war, the military-industrial complex. You know, we spend more money than many other countries combined. I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but it is massive. Well, here's the headline from last week that is of concern that I believe deserves some transparency. Last week, North Korea announced the launch of its, quote, first spy satellite into orbit and now claims to have the capability to spy on the United States. They say that the leader of North Korea watched it happen. Many sources are documenting that it's true. When we have these China satellites flying over the United States, and now we have North Korea launching a spy satellite, this is changing the game in space. Now, I know when Donald Trump created the space, whatever you want to call it, space program or whatever, people kind of mocked him. But we need national defense for space. And this relates directly to tax dollars and how much we're going to spend where, right?
Absolutely. And for far, far too long, we haven't asked fundamental questions about the value of the money that we're spending here on so many types of weapon systems, of intelligence gathering systems. Are the agencies actually working together? I mean, that's a long-standing problem of the various intelligence entities under the United States government, not sharing information properly or communicating with each other about what they know. And unfortunately, that kind of intra-government secrecy can actually endanger our national security. If some agency fails to share data with another, they don't put the pieces together, and suddenly a terror plot goes undiscovered. It happens.
Well, and when you, as the American people, hear in the media that, hey, man, North Korea launches a spy satellite and they're spying on Americans, somebody needs to put a little bit of reality check to this in terms of, one, what we're doing, two, what kind of a threat it really is. At some point, the American people deserve answers when you see that kind of a headline.
Well, yes, and I mean, let's point out the obvious here, because sometimes the obvious isn't so obvious to government officials. If the headline is already out there and the story is already out there, maybe the Pentagon and other agencies in our government would want to be a little more transparent. Like you say, Sam, if people are reading about it anyway, shouldn't our government get involved and explain our perspective? What we think the truth is, keeping silent about it is only fueling speculation.
Well, and this is kind of the UFO discussion, too. They did that forever, and now they're admitting blatantly they know about unidentified flying objects and everything else. But they first said we're a bunch of crackpots, conspiracy theorists, for bringing that up. Yeah, let's skip the break. For bringing that up. They kind of made it sound like we were nuts on parade and crazy. Now they're admitting we were right. Well, how do these two relate? And when they do that, we lose trust. That's the whole reason I'm bringing this up, is they don't have to give away the national secrets. I'm not suggesting they should, but they have got to be candid and bring trust to the table. They've got to.
Yes, yes. I mean, when you look at the, let's just keep focused on the national security apparatus right now. When you observe what's called the formal Department of Defense budget, over $800 billion. You add to that the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Veterans Affairs, the nuclear weapons program that the Department of Energy runs. This is a $1 trillion plus military and national security establishment, a huge part of the federal budget. Not the biggest one, that would be entitlement benefit programs, but still gigantic.
But it's 20% of it, right?
Yes, that's right.
And when you look at that and the border leaked like a sieve, I don't feel safe in America, really, do you?
No, no. And, you know, you don't have to be a rock-ribbed conservative calling to close the border to simply ask for some answers from our government about where they're going to spend the money and what the plan is.
All right, I want to move to a different topic. I know we don't have you for very long. We appreciate you taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to be with us. We're talking to Pete Sepp, ladies and gentlemen, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. He always does a phenomenal job. And I really just thought with that headline coming out about North Korea, it was worth a national security discussion. Transparency is important. Now, here's the next headline that I think is really relevant before Congress and before the country right now. Headline says this: auto dealers are urging Biden to tap the brakes on unrealistic EV or electronic vehicle mandates. They say enthusiasm has stalled. Candace Hathaway, The Blaze, brought it up. They say a coalition of nearly 4,000 car dealerships signed an open letter to President Biden urging the administration to tap the brakes and say, hey, you know what? we can't handle this. They want by 2035 to be 60% of sales to be EVs. Right now, there's only 7% at best. And they say, when you read the details of the story, nobody wants them. They're too expensive. There's not enough charging stations around the country. People don't see how they can practically be used. They're still way expensive, even with all the subsidies. And basically, everybody's saying, look, Joe, I appreciate your enthusiasm for this, but this has got to stop. These mandates will not, cannot fly. Reality check. Isn't that a congressional discussion? And what's being discussed about that? Because if they're subsidizing it, it relates to my taxes, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. What we originally were promised in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act that the president signed into law in 2022 was a relatively modest subsidy program, tax credits of $7,500 per vehicle. They really aren't credits in the sense that you necessarily reduce your tax bill. I mean, the massive claim you can make against your taxes is actually refundable here. So it's $7,500 per vehicle, and the Congressional Budget Office originally estimated that all of these tax credits would amount to about $7.5 billion over 10 years. Well, if you do the math, you realize that's about enough to subsidize 100,000 electric vehicle purchases a year. You weigh that against the goal that the president keeps articulating, which would have to be in the millions sold every year, and you realize something's going to give here. Either the subsidy is going to amount to a whole lot more than Congress's budget office ever estimated, or they are never going to reach this goal of tens of millions of electric vehicles on the road. And it is perfectly legitimate for Congress, Democrats and Republicans, to say, hey, where is this program headed? Either it's going to fail its objective, or it's going to amount to a lot more money. Which is it?
Well, they said today's current technology is inadequate to support the needs of the majority of our consumers. They explain, we just don't have the ability to even do this, even if we wanted to.
Yes, that's another problem. The fact is, the $7,500 per vehicle tax credit for these electric cars is only the beginning of what government would have to put down for, what taxpayers would have to help underwrite. You would have to have charging stations funded by the federal government. You have some infrastructure coming online built by private companies, and certainly in urban areas, it's easier to drive one of these things around and get your vehicle charged. If you want to go cross country, it is still a planning exercise. In fact, I know of some manufacturers who provide an app on your phone to help you find charging stations as you plan your trip that might amount to tens or hundreds of miles. The fact is, if you need an app for that, the infrastructure is still pretty bare in some parts of the country. If you've got to search around for this stuff until it becomes widely available, it's not going to work.
Then they bring up the final issue. You know what? People don't want these vehicles. People believe that gas-powered vehicles are simpler, lighter, less expensive, safer. The list goes on and on and on. What about choice and agency in this matter? If you just mandate all this and everybody's forced to have an electric vehicle. I mean, I'm reading stories about, oh, yeah, they had a storm in Florida, and then after the cars dry out, the salt mixes with the battery and spontaneously combusts, for crying out loud. Okay, we can't just mandate this with that kind of stuff going on, can we? I mean, this is insane.
Plus, we need to weigh the net environmental benefits here. This is something that many environmental advocates don't always want to do. All right, What does it take to build one of these vehicles? Well, it takes a lot of battery and battery manufacturing. What do you need for that? You need huge supplies of certain minerals. You've got to have mines to supply those minerals efficiently. The environmental community stands in the way of building more mines and drilling and extracting rock. Well, okay, something's got to give there too. If you need lithium for the batteries, but you oppose mining to do it, then you're not going to get your electric vehicles.
Well, and set aside the political debate, though, from a tax point of view, it's been nothing but when they make these efforts happen, they turned out to be massive boondoggles, from wind to solar to EVs to they fund a ton of money, and then these companies simply go belly up, right? That's a taxpayer dilemma that we must talk about.
Yeah. I mean, this goes all the way back to the Obama administration and the loans for Solyndra. Now, I happen to believe that these technologies are gradually evolving, and residential solar makes sense in a lot of parts of the country. I think that hydropower is often overlooked as a very clean energy source. But here again, that runs smack dab into environmentalists who don't want you to put dams across rivers. Well, we're going to have to make that decision. If carbon energy is that much of a threat to the future, set aside whether it is or isn't, but if you believe that, then you need to start advocating policies that allow our private sector economy to meet genuine public demands, forcing this on the public and forcing the public to pay more taxes for it is not going to work.
I'm kind of a supply and demand guy, though. I'm kind of a simpleton in this, Pete Sepp. Look, let the private sector be free to develop whatever they want to. The fastest, cheapest, most responsible, best technologies will come to the table. And if somebody can build a better mousetrap, trust you me, people will go to it. Supply and demand in reality mandates that. If you can give me an electric vehicle that really is less expensive for me to run and operate, that's really safer, that really works on the roads, that really fulfills my needs, trust you me, if you do that, I'm going to buy it. But until you do, I'm not going to. I'm kind of stupid, but isn't it that simple?
Yes, it is, I'm afraid. And we can all wish, and again, the environmental community does this very often, we can all wish this stuff away and say, there's got to be some amount of money the federal government can spend to achieve a breakthrough and require people to do these things, and they'll come around eventually. It has never worked in the past. And acknowledging that reality is important for us to get to a place where we have a cleaner environment that everybody can participate in and everybody can afford to participate in.
Where do we go from here in terms of what Congress is going to do and what we the people can do in terms of this issue and many others? You know, we've got Mike Johnson now leading the House. Supposedly he can save some money, but he kind of kicked the can down the road again. I'm a little bit disappointed. However, I still want to give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt. He was kind of brought in last minute, you know, so let's be fair. But at the same time, we need to see concrete, realistic things on the table and fast.
Yes. Well, there is good legislation called the Limit, Save, and Grow Act that was introduced by Congressman Jody Arrington that would have provided for a small, responsible increase to the national debt ceiling while reducing dramatically federal spending. And it would have started with a lot of these electric vehicle subsidies and other green energy credits so that we would take a pause on throwing more money at a problem and think about other reasons why certain energy technologies may not be taking root. How about regulatory problems? There are even members of the environmentalist community now who are saying they can't even get a permit to build a solar panel farm or a wind farm offshore. That's because of government regulations. We've got to look at that so that, hey, we'll have a level playing field. And if somebody does build that better mouse trap, they won't have the federal government keeping them from even marketing it. Maybe we've got to look at those areas. Maybe we've got to look at permits for nuclear power, that power plants there are almost impossible to build.
And I'm not here to pick energy. Presidential candidates on this discussion with you, but I will say this, Vivek is the only one kind of saying, hey, let's get all this stuff done. That's what the economy runs on. Until you find a better way to make the economy run, this is the reality. He's right on that.
Yes. And when you think of all the years, I mean, this is the same problem we have with reforming America's entitlement benefits. All of the years we spend talking about doing something and each side digging in its heels and insisting on a perfect solution, an ideal outcome right now or nothing. Well, guess what we get? Nothing. And we do need to acknowledge reality. We have certain tools available to provide more abundant energy that makes a smaller carbon footprint. We can go forward with those now, or we can still sit around waiting for this ideal utopia that's all government funded that will never happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, all I can tell you is this. We've got to be realistic. We've got to come to the table. We've got to become transparent. We've got to decide it's not a left and right or a Republican or Democrat discussion. This is an American discussion, ladies and gentlemen. And our dear friends over at the National Taxpayers Union, Pete Sepp and crew, really bring think tank educational solutions to the table. They work with all kinds of people. NTU.org. They can work on the national level, which they continually do. They provide reports and think tank information that's super helpful, but they can also work at your state level and at your local level. Partner with NTU.org today, because really it's not about who's right. It's not about what party you belong to. It's a matter of what's right and how can we move forward in a responsible way and spend less than we bring in, while appropriately making the best life we possibly can for we the people. Pete?
Absolutely. And we'll discuss this on another segment at another day, Sam. But just in this election, Americans stood up in Colorado and defended one of the strongest tax limitation constitutional provisions in the country. Texas voters decided to ban taxes on wealth. That is directly the work of citizen activists who almost always started out at the local level doing things for taxpayers bit by bit and then use that experience to transform their state's fiscal landscapes. So you can change things. You can fight City Hall and win.
It reminds me of how, you know what, big corporations don't hardly develop anything. What they usually do is sit back and wait for a small guy to develop and do something, and then they buy it up and control it. Well, the same thing's happening on the local level with politics. We find solutions that work, and then eventually they scale bigger. That's what we can do now. The NTU.org will be helpful in that quest from so many ways. It's not even funny, but you got to call them and talk to them, work with them, become a partner, join them, and then they can kind of cater and tailor whatever you want to work on based on your state laws and rules and guidelines and what's been done in other states. They can bring all that previous knowledge and success to the table for you, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp, thank you so much, sir. I know you're busy and you got to fly. We'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
There he goes. Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. I find this kind of funny. When I first started out interviewing Pete 25 years ago plus, he had this recording on his voicemail and it said, this is a digital replica of Pete Sepp. Please leave a message to talk to the real Pete Sepp. Now, believe it or not, they can clone his voice. Now, we didn't do that. That was actually Pete on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. No joke. All right, I find that kind of an interesting, comical 25-year change in reality, huh? We live in a strange world, folks. Let's stand together for God, family, and country, shall we? LibertyRoundtable.com, NTU.org, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.